Dumb ways to die. Message to keep us safe around trains. Apparently, catchy tune, bunch of crazy ideas. Today's Good Friday. Today, we are reflecting on the death of Jesus. We're looking at how Jesus died. Today is Good Friday. Is this a day where we remember just another dumb way to die? Is the death of Jesus something that we can make sense of? Shortly after the death of Jesus, a few years later, a man called Paul became a follower of Jesus, and he wrote these words: "The message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." Jesus' death, Jesus dies. Is it foolishness or is it powerful? That depends, doesn't it? It depends on whether you are perishing or being saved. The death of Jesus, it's this one event that can be seen from two different angles. Now, I'm sure you've seen these illusionary pictures, these double picture illusions. They can be seen from two angles. You know the ones. Here's a picture. What do you see? Do you see an old man with silvery hair? Or do you see a horse rider and another person lying beside a creek? One picture, two views. Or what about this one? A word. What word do you see? Is it good or is it evil? One picture, two views. Or what about this one? I like this one. Do you see a frog? If you turn it sideways, you see a horse. One picture, two views. The death of Jesus is a single event with two views. The death of Jesus is this single event that can be seen as something that is dumb or something that is the power of God, that is dynamite. On the day of his death, everyone saw the way Jesus died as totally dumb. Jesus dies by crucifixion. The soldiers nail his hands to the cross and his feet to the cross, and bleeding and naked, he dies. The word excruciating, our word excruciation, comes from this horrible form of killing. It literally means out of the cross. It's a Latin word meaning out of the cross. Excruciating, it describes the pain of those who are screaming from a cross. Everyone mocks Jesus, the criminals dying beside him, the pedestrians walking past, the city leaders and the soldiers. Dumb way to die. They mock him for his inability, his seeming inability to save himself. They mock him and his claim that he is the King of Israel, God's chosen one. Looks like a dumb way to die to everyone who is watching that day. An innocent man suffering extreme injustice. Jesus lived his life above reproach. He spent his time doing supernatural good things. Jesus made the outrageous claim as he went around helping people that he was the Son of God. He claimed to be equal with God. He claimed to be God, and he backed up his claim by his public teaching and his actions. And if you've been here over this term, we've been looking through Mark's Gospel. But if you haven't been here, you can read about it. If you have a Bible, do pick up a copy of the Bible and read through the biographies of the life of Jesus. If you don't have a Bible, we've got a whole lot that we want to give away today. It is one of the biographies of the life of Jesus. It's called The Essential Jesus. If you don't have a Bible and you want to read about the account, please grab one before you go. There's a whole pile on the tables outside as you leave. We can read about the story of the life of Jesus. He heals the sick. He gives sight to the blind. He gives hearing to the deaf. He gives speech to the voiceless. He gives the ability to walk and run to paraplegics. He cures diseases. Jesus he feeds crowds virtually out of nothing. He calms wild storms. He raises people back to life who had died. He exposes the greedy. He unmasks the fakes. He rebukes the oppressors, he stands up for the weak, he hangs out for those that others avoid. He really is a real Robin Hood kind of figure. But he's much, much more than a Robin Hood. He offers God's forgiveness to those who have broken God's standards. We think we're good. Jesus really was good. He says who he says he is. He is who he says he is. Jesus actually has what we need to be restored. He actually has the power to do the things that we need to have this world fixed. Even his enemies actually had confessed that, don't they? From the cross, they mock him and they say he saved others. He did. We might think we're good. Jesus really is good. So what's on display here as Jesus dies on this day? It actually is the dirty underbelly of all human evil. The very evil that we experience today that wrecks our world, that wrecks our relationships. Things like pride and envy, jealousy, backstabbing, cruelty, greed, indifference, cowardice, and murder are all on display here. Jesus, the innocent one, is enduring this vindictive hatred and of guilty, sinful men. But actually, there's a lot more going on than just Jesus enduring pain. The light of the world, Jesus, is dying on a cross, and this does not happen in a corner. This death is a very public event. His friends and his enemies and everyone in between are watching. The women who cared for him, the centurion executioner, he gives his word to Pilate that Jesus died. Joseph the Jew takes the dead body of Jesus down from the cross, wraps it in a cloth and puts it in a rock-cut tomb, and he seals it with a boulder. What we are reading here is the eyewitness accounts of facts that are dependable, that have been recorded by people who experienced the event. The light of the world is dying on a cross, and a supernatural darkness marks the occasion. From midday to 3 p.m, darkness hangs over everything and everyone. You know that feeling that you get when a big storm's coming and the clouds cover the sun and it starts to get dark? That's the kind of ominous darkness that hangs over Jesus at this point. A darkness that is supernatural that marks the occasion. It's as if the forces of nature are actually coming unraveled as the light of the world dies. At 3 p.m. in the darkness, Jesus cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Now that is a cry of abandonment. It's a feeling of being rejected by God and people, which is exactly what Jesus is experiencing. But it is also a prayer of a righteous person. It's a prayer request to God to support, defend, to endorse and to validate his righteousness. They mock Jesus and his inability to save himself, but they actually misunderstand what's going on. Jesus isn't out to save himself. Jesus doesn't need to save himself. He has done nothing wrong. No one can pin any crime that sticks to him. The nails are not holding Jesus to the cross. It's the love of God that is. Jesus is dying this day for others. He's dying for us. But do you believe that? That's what we believe. That's what I believe. Do you believe that Jesus is dying for you? To actually help us with this, three extraordinary events are recorded here to help us believe that Jesus is dying for us. And Mark records these things that we can see. The first extraordinary thing that we see in the death of Jesus is the way he dies. Jesus, with a loud cry, breathes his last. That is extraordinary because this is a death by crucifixion. Crucifixion, it is a slow and exhausting death. You're hanging from a cross by nails. Sometimes the crucified person would stay alive for days. Basically, you get weaker and weaker and weaker. Your capacity to make noise is long gone before you peter out from suffocation and die. But that's not what happens with Jesus, is it? He is suffering dreadfully, but he's dying intentionally. And the loud cry, he lays down his life. He is laying down his life. It is not being taken from him. The loud cry is a witness to that. It points that Jesus is dying on his terms. No one is taking his life from him. He is laying it down. Secondly, at the moment of the death of Jesus, this curtain in the temple, which is in the city, gets ripped from top to bottom. That means nothing to us without some heavy-duty explanation. It's extraordinary and it's important. And here's why. That curtain in the temple, it is a massive, thick thing. It is more like a Persian rug. It's almost 25 metres tall. It gets supernaturally torn from top to bottom. 10 men wouldn't have the strength to rip this, even if they could reach up that high. This curtain, from its beginning, it stood as a barrier between us and God. It is a barrier. God is in the temple. We are out here. The curtain blocks us from God. Jesus dies, and in the moment of his death, this barrier is ripped from top to bottom. An entrance to God is opened up. Now, what really separates us from God? It's not a Persian rug. It's not a curtain. Our barrier is our sins, the bad things we do and the good things we don't do. That's the real barrier that separates us from our God. The Bible says, your sins have separated you from your God. Your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear you. We are blocked from our holy God by our unholy actions. We might think we're good. Maybe you do. The reason we do that is because we measure each other by each other. We remember our standard of goodness. We measure our standard of goodness by those around us. I only tell white lies, not like that rat bag who's telling big whoppers. I mostly keep the laws, the road rules. I'm not like that P-plater who was texting and hit the person on the bike. I only swear a little bit. I don't swear like a trooper. Anyway, we all convince each other nobody's perfect. And that's true. And that's the trouble. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. But Jesus, who is perfect, dies. And it is this perfect sacrifice that rips our sin barrier from top to bottom. Access to God, our life provider, is now open. We can now get back to God and get access to the life that we need because the barrier of our sin has been removed. We can plug ourselves back into God and his life source because our sin has been shredded at the cross. We can plug ourselves back into our life source. We can be saved. The Bible says, by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened up to us through the curtain, that is his body, let us draw near to God with sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. This is really great news, and this is true. This is what I believe. This is what many of us believe here. We can draw near to God through the curtain, the death of Jesus. Have you done that? Have you discovered the truth that God provides true life for all who trust in Jesus? Have you joined his company? The death of Jesus, it's not a dumb way to die. He gives his life to give us access to God and eternal life. Kenny Rogers, in his song The Gambler, says the best that you can hope for is to die in your sleep. Well, that's probably the best that you can hope for if you're a selfish person, I guess. We remember fallen soldiers, don't we, and their death, because they give their life for our freedom. That's a much more noble death, isn't it? Sacrifice for friends and family and loved ones and country and freedom. But Jesus takes this whole step further, doesn't he? Jesus gives his life for us when we were powerless. Jesus gives his life for us when we were his enemies, sinners. His death rips this barrier of sin to shreds, and he gives us access to God so that we can have life that goes on forever. The death of Jesus is not a dumb way to die. It is the power of God. It is dynamite. The death of Jesus opens this door to eternal life, but the question is, have you gone through that door? Have you gone through that door? The door of freedom has been opened by the death of Jesus, but have you experienced it? Are you living in that freedom yet? Have you made the step to get through into that freedom and into that life, that Jesus opens up for us. It's no value of all to know that Jesus died for you if you haven't done anything about it. The funny trick you can play with chickens. I grew up with lots of chickens, and as a kid, we had plenty of them. There's a funny trick you can do with chooks. If you grab a chook by the legs, lie it down on the ground, you can hold it like that, keep holding onto it, and you tap around its head and give it a few frights. It tries to jump away, and then it realises it can't, so it gives up. And it sits there, and then you can release your hand and step back. And the chook stays there. And it can stay there for hours, thinking it's still bound and tied. I used to think that was so funny as a kid. I loved doing that. Incredibly funny. Me and my brothers used to all grab a chook and we'd all get them ready and then we'd step back. Five chooks, all thinking that they are locked, and we'd wait to see which one got up first. Chickens are silly things. Our sin holds us like that. We are prisoners to the things that we do that are wrong. But don't think that you are held by sin any longer. Don't think you are still stuck. What Jesus has done, he has set us free. That barrier has been abolished. And no matter who you are, no matter what has happened to you, and no matter what you have done, the death of Jesus sets you free. You've just got to stand up and experience that. You have to go through that door of freedom by putting your trust in Jesus. He dies with a shout to demonstrate that he is laying down his life. It is not being taken from him. The temple curtain is ripped from top to bottom to demonstrate that our sin barrier has been shredded. So trust Jesus that it is gone and life in God is now available. The third extraordinary thing is that we are shown who now can have access to God. The third extraordinary thing is the statement that a Roman centurion, the executioner, actually says. The Bible says, when the centurion who stood there in front of Jesus heard his cry and saw how he died, he said, "Surely this man was the Son of God." This Roman centurion, the executioner, finds acceptance through understanding who Jesus is. What do you need to be saved? You don't need to lift your game. You don't need to go all kung fu-y and religious. It's not a list of do's and don'ts that you have to suddenly meet up to. Access to the eternal saving power of God is through faith and trust in Jesus Christ, no matter who you are. If you believe what this centurion came to believe, you will be saved. In the death of Jesus, this pagan Roman executioner has free access to God, and so do you, and so do I, and so do we all. You can't be good enough to get to God under your own steam, and you can't be so bad as to be excluded from him. It's not what we do. It's not about what we do, it's what Jesus has done for us. He gave his life as a payment for many. In this horrible place of the skull, Jesus frees us from the punishment of death by dying in our place. The message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. The message of the cross is the death of Jesus, and it is powerful. It is dynamite. It is the power of God bringing salvation to all who put their trust in Jesus. It is the gift of life to all who believe. Put your trust in Jesus, in his death. Experience God's saving power in your life. The freedom from slavery and sin is abolished in the death of Jesus, and the certainty of eternal life is guaranteed. You'll have to come back on Sunday, though, because it's Friday, and it all gets validated on Sunday. If you're not getting back on Sunday, though, can I encourage you to grab one of these little books and read the story for yourself, read the ending. Jesus is our King and our Saviour.